Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have to come before your presence with singing. We thank you that you're a God of love, of tender mercy, of forbearance. We thank you for these Sabbath hours that are upon us, a reminder of creation and a sign of our recreation in the image of God, and that we can rest in that assurance every 7 days. And we pray that now, as we pause for a few moments to reflect on you and your character and the Word of God, Lord, my lips are made of clay, and I pray that you would use this frail vessel to deliver a message tonight that would touch our hearts. May the Holy Spirit speak to each one. Lord, we need a tailor-made message tonight, Lord, for each one of us, and I pray that your power, your Spirit, would do that. We ask that invitation as we reflect on Scripture. May you speak to us, for we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's a story told of a man that was called to visit the President of the United States at the White House. And as he was waiting in the waiting room to gain an audience with the President of the United States, one of the White House aides mistook the guest of the President as a waiter and said, "You there, why don't you get some water and serve everybody in the room?" And this person didn't miss a beat. He said, "Okay." Went up and got a pitcher of water and started serving everyone. Suddenly, the President of the United States walked in and said, "Hey, I'm so glad you're here." And the face of that White House aide just flushed in embarrassment because he recognized that he had just treated the guest of the President like a servant. I tell you, he's a better man than I. Because I would have said, "Excuse me? Right? I'm not a servant in the White House. I'm an honored guest. No one wants to be a servant. We all want to be served." In our reflection this evening, comes from the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Pray that you brought your Bibles this evening. Amen. Familiar passage to each one of us, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Here Paul reflects on the servanthood of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. It's familiar. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, giving him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." We're told that the story of Bethlehem is an exhaustless theme. And I don't think that through the ceaseless ages of eternity, we will fully comprehend the nature of the condescension that Jesus experienced. And furthermore, the book Desire of Ages indicates that Jesus will forever retain the human nature. It's like me becoming an amoeba. You know, you have humans animals, and insects. And Jesus, the Bible says, took two steps down. You have God, angels, humanity. Can you imagine becoming like an ant? The Bible indicates that he wasn't even an upper class ant. He was like a servant ant. I mean, even being an upper class ant for a human being, can you imagine, like, that would be like condescension. Ellen White indicates in the book Desire of Ages that it would have been infinite humiliation for Jesus to take on the nature of Adam before the fall. But she indicates that he took on his nature 4,000 years of the law of heredity and the degeneration of the human race. Jesus took on that form, and forever, throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, one-third of the Godhead will forever identify with you and me. Amen? He is our elder brother, and this dark blot of a planet will become the center of the universe. And friends, that meditation is what springs forth spontaneous worship for eternity. Because the awe and the wonder of a God that laid it all aside and became as one of us. Oh, incredible reflection. I want to reflect a little bit on the bigness of God here, just so we can grasp the nature of the condescension here. God is transcendent, which means He's beyond us. Theologians have been reflecting on the transcendence of God for centuries, and this idea that God is beyond us. The Bible says that the heavens itself cannot contain the glory of God. So God is not only eminent, which means near, God with us, but God is also transcendent, which means that He is so vast and infinite and beyond us and for eternity. Even though we will get a deeper and more closer appreciation of who God is, because of the infinite nature of God, we'll never really get there. For instance, our Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years across, which means traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. It'll take you 100,000 years just to get from one end to another. And it's estimated that there are billions, hundreds of billions of galaxies. Just so you know how long it would take you to count to a billion. I don't recommend doing this, by the way. It's not the best use of your time. If you decided to count to a billion and you averaged 1 second per number, it would take you over 90 years to count to 1 billion. And it's estimated that the number of stars in the universe is greater than the number of grains of sand on all the beaches in the world, according to Carl Sagan. God is vast. God is big. And this idea that God became human and was in the womb of Mary is a theme that will require eternal contemplation. The wonder of that condescension. Philippians indicates, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Jesus' path was what we call downward mobility. He took two steps down. He became an angel, and he became a human being, a servant. The path of God is downward mobility. You can see it here in Philippians. He took on the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, and even the death of the cross. The word that Philippians uses to empty oneself, I want to read it here from the lexicon, is to completely remove or eliminate elements of high status or rank by eliminating all privileges or prerogatives associated with such status or rank, or to empty oneself, to divest oneself of position. And so the Bible indicates that he emptied himself, and that brought about his downward mobility. And you can see it here in the Gospels, the Word was with God and was God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus descended. He lived with us. He ate with us. He knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. He came down to serve. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. So in summary, you can see that the very nature of God is to serve. It's the downward, descendant model, and one of my professors, Stan Patterson, indicated, precisely because he was God, he became a servant. Therefore, the essential nature of God is to be a servant. Being a servant is not an exception to his nature, it is his nature. I want to contrast this with another familiar passage in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, in regards to Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. So Jesus' path was downward mobility, downward towards service. He knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. This is not an exception to his nature. This is his nature. And in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, we actually have a chiastic structure here. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I want you to notice the egocentric center of this passage here. I will ascend. I will exalt. And it's clearly the opposite direction. It's ascendancy. Lucifer did not want to be like God. He wanted to be God. It's upward mobility. In other words, the path of Lucifer is to move up. The path of Jesus is to move down. A contrast. At the heart of Lucifer is upward mobility. I will ascend. I will exalt. And in this chiastic structure, the point, the top of that point is I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. The path of Lucifer is ascendance and dominance oriented. The path of Jesus is descendant and incarnational. I can remember when I first got into ministry. We take new in ministry, which is preparation for ordination. My colleagues and I, we talk. The conversation went something like this. Someday, I'm going to be conference president. Someday, I'm going to be ministerial director. Someday, you never know, I may be GC president. Now, I never said those types of words, but you know what the conversation is going around. It's no one said in those meetings, I want to pastor that church in that podunk town in the middle of nowhere. Mm-mm. I want to pastor that large church in Varian Springs or Loma Linda. And so you can see this mentality comes even into ministers, God's people, those in supporting ministries, perhaps. This idea that I'm not content in my position of service. I have talents and abilities that go beyond this sphere and this scope, and one day I'm going to have that upward mobility. This is a temporary stepping stone, and I'm just going to be fully transparent. When I got the call to Alaska to pastor, first of all, I thought in my heart, Lord, what did I do wrong? And those of you that are watching, perhaps, you know, I love you, but I'm just I said, Lord, I mean, I must have done something wrong because you're putting me in exile. And this is not in the line of where I was thinking. This was not on my bucket list of places to pastor. And my friends would be like, David, why are you going there? Well, the Lord called, amen? And I had to really process in my own mind, why did I join ministry in the first place? Was it to become somebody? To go to a church that had prestige, or to be in a position in which people would say, oh, he's arrived now. You can see that even the disciples of Jesus were not immune to this type of thinking. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 and 21, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right hand and the other on the left. You know, nothing like mom. Amen? And I tell you, when we had our son, there's something about a father's heart. I said, oh, someday. You know, we named our son Hudson Michael Shin. Hudson after Hudson Taylor, the great missionary. And his initials just happened to be HMS, right? No pressure. And so there's something about the father's heart. Oh, someday my son, my daughter, and just in a long time lost long enough here, just listen to my son if he takes on the heritage of HMS, you know, and just sit there. Oh, praise God. You know, just one of those things. And here is a mother coming to Jesus, and you can understand her heart, and says, look, Jesus, and it's probably in some back room somewhere where the other disciples are, and says, Jesus, you know, when you come in your kingdom, my boys, one on the right and the other on the left, please. Oh, verse 24. When the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked, they knew who was really behind it. You know, they put mom up to it. They were indignant. And so Jesus has to do some damage control. Leadership 101. And notice what Jesus says in verse 26 to 28. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you remember what Jesus asked James and John and said, can you drink of the cup that I'm about to drink of? And they said, oh yeah, we're able. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? And they said, oh yes. The book Desire of the Ages indicates that they did drink of that cup. It was the cup of suffering. James, the first to be martyred. John lived the longest of all, a life of exile and privation. Heaven's priorities, it seems like, are upside down. Now you may ask David, if everyone is in this path of downward mobility, who's going to be conference president? Or GC president? College president? And the Bible presents this fascinating principle that's actually embedded within the Philippians passage. It's actually the down-up path. As you descend to service, the Bible says, therefore God elevated him, Jesus, to the highest place of honor. In other words, we're not politicking for the highest place. We're not seeking it. And by the way, I didn't put in my resume for this position, just if you're wondering, in terms of I did not politic for this. This was not on my purview. But the thing is, as you go where God wants you to go, and as you descend into service, the Lord calls you to a position. It's the down-up path. And as you descend to service, and as you're content in the position that you are, and as you're faithful in what God has called you to do and to be, God says, I'm going to call you up. That's how it always works. David, a shepherd, I'm going to call you to be king. Joseph, a slave and in prison, I'm going to call you to be prime minister. So it's always the down-up path. And here it is. In James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God has called you to be faithful in the role that He has put you today. And I know individuals that are unfaithful in their present responsibilities, always looking for the next thing to do. Not recognizing that your faithfulness as a janitor, sweeping floors, washing dishes, amen, and the faithfulness that you do in that regard fits you and prepares you for higher service. Because if you're unfaithful in that, you'll be unfaithful when it comes to the larger responsibilities. If you're late to work, amen. Vocational training, right? If you're sloppy, if you don't even show up, if you don't tell your work supervisor that you're not going to be there, you're actually building a character path that disqualifies you for the role that God has in mind. So be faithful, amen? Not necessarily so that God can give you the position, but because that task, that day, is your offering to God. And you want to give glory to God in that act. whether God has upward mobility in mind for you or not. But it's the path of service. It's the path of downward mobility, and it's the path of Jesus. Sometimes we bring the concept of Lucifer into ministry. It's upward. And here's the irony. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Those who take the down path to service will occupy the throne where Lucifer hoped to rest. You serve, Jesus says, you sit with me on my throne. I'm going to call you. And look, that's the ultimate calling up. Amen. In a conference that I worked at, I remember the shock, my first camp meeting. Because they had something called camp pitch. And they took the smallest pastor and assigned him to driving these 6 foot high stakes, and there were hundreds of them. And all of the work crew, the pastors like myself that did not have specialized skills in terms of handiwork or you know what I'm talking about, you know. They put us on the stake crew. And it was jarring. You know, you're driving them into the ground, and I remember I did not wear earplugs the first time, so my ears are ringing, and you have to put them in, you get blisters, and it's just jarring on either side, and you do one, and just pray that it rained before. But, you know, sometimes it didn't rain, and you're out there for hours doing this. And I remember I went to bed that night, and I was just like, so, just sore. The next morning, you got to do it all again. And we're doing this, and I tell you, one of the most challenging parts for me was that the conference officials would ride around in their golf carts. I'm just being real. And their supervisor, right? Ride around, and I'm out there. I remember pausing and just being like, wow, you know? And I wasn't upset, but I was envious. Let's be transparent here. And me and my friends, our goal at camp meeting, one day, was to be on one of those golf carts. I remember my friend, I won't tell you his name. He got one, should have seen his face. He just rode up all smug, and I was like, oh, so I see you, brother. Because I said, one day, I'm going to be on a golf cart and watch all these other peons out here driving stakes into the ground, and I'm going to ascend. And I remember one day the conference president rode up in his golf cart. And I said, oh, what did I do now? Because there was times when the stakes weren't straight. You had to take them all down. I was like, oh, checking it out. I said, oh, you better start going here. And, woo! Elder, how you doing today? It's a hot day, isn't it? You know, and you're going down. He got off his golf cart. Never forget this. He descended off his golf cart, put on his gloves, and shoulder to shoulder with the rest of us, unordained ministers like myself, drove those stakes for hours. You know, that did something. I was like, where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. I'll be in this conference for the rest of my life. I mean, that's the kind of sentiment that was in my heart, because that descendant path, he didn't have to do that. He was a busy man. But that descendant path did something to me. How much more, on a whole other level, the God of the universe descended. But the Bible says he's going to stay as one of us for eternity. And that awe and that inspiration is what prompts us, great controversy, to cast our crowns at his feet and say, and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because of that demonstration of eternal condescension. That's the kind of God we serve. You can't help but love a God like that. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. How many of you want to be like that? By his grace. Let's kneel together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the eternal God of the universe, becoming as one of us, taking on the nature of a servant. And Lord, we repent, I repent, for our desires of upward mobility. Oh Lord, do for us what we're incapable of doing on our own. Give us the mind of Christ. Give us the mind of Jesus. Lord, help us to have the mindset of service, to be like Jesus. Lord, we can't fabricate this. We can't create this. But through your Holy Spirit, we ask to be like Jesus. And also, Lord, we ask that you would give us a deeper appreciation for who you are. May we receive today a deeper revelation of who you are. And may our hearts be broken, be touched by the love of God as manifest in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for that gift. For we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.